Hello, friends. It's Jim Nance, and it's my great pleasure to welcome you to Beyond the Clubhouse, a podcast hosted by my friend Garrett Johnston. He is a testament to one of the great things about this sport, the friendships that come from playing or even just talking about the game. And you're going to meet some of the characters that Garrett has gotten to know from this past decade plus that he's been covering the sport. You're going to hear from players, caddies, members of the media. You're going to get the storytelling, the golf news, the players' swing tips, and a whole lot of laughs. It's coming your way with this edition of Beyond the Clubhouse. Here's Garrett.
All right, what's going on, guys? I got Rory McIlroy on the podcast this week. We know him as a superstar, right, Rory? And this was a good chat with him. This was at Bay Hill, Tuesday of Bay Hill, back in March. So this is from, obviously, around 4 weeks ago. And this is a twofold interview. It was done for Golf Monthly for a cover issue that's coming up for them, the UK publication. But also, they published an article on Tuesday of this week with some of the main headlines from that interview, where he talks about there needs to be a correction in the current state of golf, right? He thinks what's happening now, we need to bring everybody back together. It's not sustainable right now in the pro game with this division. So those are the headlines you may have seen. It got picked up. Obviously, Golf Monthly had the article. It got picked up by SI, got picked up by ESPN and different sources as well. So that was the lead there. But here's the full interview. Here's the full 11 minutes, about 11-minute chat with Rory. And he was great, gracious as always. There's a lot that goes into this. Before we get into it, I did want to kind of set it up with some anecdotes with Rory from over the years. I've been lucky covering majors since 2010. I've obviously saw him at the U.S. Open when he was there at Pebble Beach in 2010. I saw him at the Masters in 2021. We always think about, 2011 when he had the lead. Remember, he had that four-shot lead going into Sunday. We all think about that meltdown and whatever you want to call it, right? He had the lead in the back nine. He hooked the shot on 10 into the trees. But there was a really cool moment, I thought, on Saturday night. He had the lead. He was in a cart coming from the media center. I remember it was almost dusk. It was just this last light on Saturday, and he's in a cart driving around, and players, I think it was one of those carts where you can sit on the back, right? And kids were coming up to him saying, "Rory, Rory," you were hearing yells. He was smiling, taking pictures, waving at these kids, really engaging with them. And I thought, for me, that was my first Masters, just taking that image in and seeing this superstar, right, from Northern Ireland. Wow, this guy's really actually approachable. Like, he's really kind of, taking in what these fans are asking for. He's really playing along with it. And I thought that was cool. And so fast forward the tape, I think of other moments of me observing Rory or talking with Rory. 2015, remember, he wins the match play that year at San Francisco at Harding Park. Well, that was the week where there was the fight, the big fight, Pacquiao and Mayweather. And he was actually supposed to go to that fight. Didn't work out. He played late into Friday night, I think, his matches. So he had to watch in the media center, he had to watch the fight. What was funny is observing him in the media center, right? There was a broadcaster for PGA Tour Radio. Dennis Paulson was in the corner FaceTiming his son. And he went up to Rory just cold turkey. And I know he obviously knows Rory, but went up to him and said, "Hey, here's my son. He wants to say hi." Rory, without even thinking, just sits up, grabs the phone, waves at Dennis's son, and chats with them for 2 or 3 minutes. No problem. It was second nature to him, right? Somebody's asking for something. This is my son. Do a favor for me. No problem. It was not an issue for him. I just thought it was so cool that he rolled with it. And it just spoke to me at the time about what kind of guy Rory was. So you go on to another example. I think of one year at the Masters. I had just interviewed Fuzzy Zeller the fall before at Pebble Beach at the Champions Tour event. So I'm running into Fuzzy under the oak tree at Augusta, and we're chatting for a few. Rory comes up to us face-to-face, right? So we see him coming up. And instead of going to Fuzzy and, me being the stranger in that situation, and those two talking, and then there being an awkward moment, "Oh, okay, well, this is Garrett, by the way," or whatever it was, Rory got ahead of it, and he went up straight to me and was like, "Hey, I'm Rory. How's it going?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, hey, I'm Garrett Johnson. Nice to meet you, man. Hey, listen, were you at the gym at Doral a month ago? Was that you in at 3 in the morning, 3:30 in the morning working out? I know I was in there." He was like, "Yeah, that was me." And I was like, "Dude," we got into a banner. I was like, "Oh, you're crazy, dude. What are you thinking?" And he said, "No, you're crazy." So it was just a nice introduction there. And I will always remember that he went out of his way kind of as I said, introduced himself to me. So that was cool. But more recently, we think of Bay Hill, right? 2022, I was doing some interviews for PGA Tour Live. I was doing some reports on feature groups. And I went up to Rory that Tuesday and I said, hey, man, like I got to do some reports this week on you. I haven't seen you in a while. Rather than me looking like a bumbling idiot and guessing what's going on in your life right now, could we chat at some point during this week? And he said, oh, yeah, no problem. How about you walk a couple holes with me during my pro-am? Let's do that. And he's just really accommodating. And that took a lot of pressure off of me. I'll tell you, as a reporter, you want to be prepared. You want to have different topics. But that really took a lot of pressure off of me then, just to be able to relax and chat with him. We a lot of wide-ranging topics there, from the Ryder Cup to the Masters. That's where he talked about, you know, he wants to think about what would a 10-year-old Rory feel like going to the Masters. So what I will say, this interview coming up with Rory, this 11-minute interview, it's not about Augusta at all. It's really more about his mindset, the state of the game right now in golf, looking ahead to major venues this year, his legacy. It's not really going to go down that Augusta rabbit hole that everybody's talking about right now. But hey, listen, he's been asked about it a million times, so there's those answers that we've gotten in the past. So this is a different view with Rory, different interview with Rory. But what I will say is, going into this interview from this year, just this March in Bay Hill, I went up to him, and this shows a little bit, I think, about him as well. As I went up to him beginning of the day, he showed up to the putting green and I walked with him for a minute or so. I said, hey man, would love to chat with you. I know you have 5 or 10 minutes at some point today. I'm sensitive to your schedule. And he's like, hey, let me think. And he kind of went through each thing. He's like, I gotta chip for 30 minutes. I gotta do this. And he went through it and he said, you know what? How about 12:30? Right around 12:30, right before lunch, that'll work perfect for me. And when you think about what that does, not only is he thinking about his schedule and then trying to communicate clearly, but it makes my job easier. He knows that I've got a schedule too. You know, he knows that I'm out there very rarely, get the hall pass from the wife, and he's respectful of that. So I thought that said a lot too. A lot of his peers, if you ask for an interview, they will not be that specific and give you that specific, hey, how about 12:30? How about exactly 3 hours from now? No, they will not necessarily do that and give you that courtesy. So it does say a lot about Rory. But anyway, here's Rory McIlroy this year, the Arnold Palmer Invitational Bay Hill. And this is us talking about state of his career, state of the game, and a lot of different topics, which you probably read about this Tuesday of this past week in different articles.
All right, Garrett Johnson here with Rory McIlroy. And Rory, this is an interesting time as we look at where you're at in your career. I mean, 17 years already, you've been been a pro for that long. How do you look at it now, the state of your career?
I feel incredibly fortunate that I've had such a long career and I've had, you know, such a consistent career up until this point. You look at other sports and other athletes, they don't have the time horizon that golfers have. So to be still, not really into my mid-30s yet and feel like I'm only halfway through my career, I feel pretty lucky that I'm in that position. And if you had told me 17 years ago when I turned pro that this is where I'd find myself, I probably would have found it hard to believe. So I'm obviously really happy with how everything's went, but still feel like I have some things to achieve in the game.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of, we'll get to that in a minute, achieving, but the state of the overall game right now, how do you look at, and obviously there's some division with LIV and PGA Tour and PIF and investment and how that all plays out, but what do you make of the state of the game right now?
Yeah, it's certainly divided. I think what the framework agreement in June 6th really tried to make happen was try to unify the game again, which I think is what ultimately needs to happen. We're not there yet. We're probably still quite a long way from it, but I would be hopeful in the future that is where we get to, where we can sort of unify the game, bring all the best players back together again. And it sucks as a competitor that I only get to see some of those, or I only get to compete against some of those guys 4 times a year, because ultimately they do have, some of the best players in the world that are playing some really, really good golf. And to not see all of the best players together more often, I just think is a shame for the overall game of golf and for fans that want to watch professionals around the world.
Is it fair to say that the game a little bit is adrift at all, that it's in need of a North Star kind of to find that on the compass?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it needs there needs to be a correction. I think what's happening right now is probably unsustainable. So something needs to happen to try to bring it all back together so that we can all move forward and that we don't have this division that's sort of ongoing.
And when you say unsustainable, like for fans as well and their experience with it?
Yeah, I think fans, sponsors, media, players, I think it's all just a little bit, you know, I just don't, the direction that both things are going right now, if you know, they keep going down those different paths, I just don't see how that benefits anyone in the long run.
When we look at the major championships, how do you assess where you are now in your hunt for major championships?
Yeah, I feel good. You know, my major play has definitely improved a little bit over the last couple of years. You know, 7 of the last 8, I've finished in the top 10, and I've had a couple of really good chances in there as well. So,
sorry. Oh, bless you. No worries.
It's getting close. You know, had a really good try at St Andrews. Didn't quite get it done there. Had a really good go at LACC. Didn't quite get it done there. But I'm confident. I feel like my game is more well-equipped nowadays to contend in major championships more consistently. Like, yes, I won major championships before in my career and won them by quite a large margin. But I feel like my performances in the majors were sort of a little volatile, while they're a little more consistent now. So, you know, I feel good about that. And obviously we've got, you know, 4 incredible venues to look forward to this year, and I'm excited for that as well.
Yeah. Do they keep you up at night at all? Like any of those close calls? I know, like the Open being where you would have, as a boy, would have wanted to win at St. Andrews, and LACC being so close. Is any aspect of that, are there any tinge of regret? Or
no, I'm luckily blessed with an ability to move on pretty quickly. So, no, not at all. Not at all. I can put things in the rearview mirror pretty swiftly and move on.
Interesting. Where does that come from, you think?
I don't know.
You are getting older.
I don't know. I think just, you know, I've always tried to live with the idea of keep moving forward, and what's done is done, and the past is in the past, and you can't change it or do anything about it. So just got to move on and keep going forward.
Well, you mentioned there's some great major championship venues this year. I think of Valhalla, where you won in 2014. It's already been 10 years. What do you make of that course, and how much are you looking forward to going back there?
Yeah, it's going to be different this time around. It won't be in August like it was last time that we played there. So I guess I would expect it to be a little drier and maybe not play quite as soft as it played. It was really humid and rainy back in 2014. So, you know, it might play a little bit differently, but it's a, you know, it's a great championship test, especially the back nine. I think the back nine is really where that course comes into its own. So yeah, I'm excited for it.
Yeah. And I look forward to Pinehurst as well in June. It's a great test. USGA really loves that place. What do you make of Pinehurst?
Yeah, I love Pinehurst again. Played it back in 2014. Yeah. And I've really grown to like those sort of golf courses where, there's not a ton of rough, there's a lot of runoffs, a lot of pine straw native areas. You know, it gives you width off the tee, and then gives you options into, you know, with your approach shots and into greens. So, and especially there, the greens are, you know, so severe and so undulating that, you know, you really need to be going into those greens from the, you know, from the right side of the hole most of the time, or the correct side of the hole. So Pinehurst is a great test. Troon's a great test for the Open, obviously.
The weather was a little funky. I remember the flag on 18 was really being pulled there. I should say the flag pull by the clubhouse. I mean, that's a brutal test at times.
It is. Obviously, Henrik and Phil really separated themselves last time we played there. So, but, you know, the major venues this year are great. And, you know, looking forward to getting started. And once they start in April, they come thick and fast. So, you know, one every month for 4 months, it's going to be a, you know, a nice stretch of golf.
How many times have you played Troon, would you say?
Just for the tournament last time. So probably 2 or 3 practice rounds and the 4 tournament rounds. So, you know, 6 or 7 times.
But Lynx Golf, I mean, you probably like the overall challenge of it, I'd imagine, with that venue.
Yeah, I do. I've, you know, my Open performances have been pretty good over the last few years. And, I've really grown to like, you know, not that I grew up on links golf, and I think sometimes you always want what you don't have, and that, you know, I always loved coming to America and playing these sorts of golf courses that we're at here in Bay Hill, but you know, I've started to appreciate links golf more as time has went on.
And when I think, we talk about the majors there, but like, how do you overall define kind of goals or success for a year? Like, is it a tangible thing, or how do you kind of tend to define it now?
Yeah, it is tangible. I mean, I think I'll always, to me, it's about how many chances you give yourself to win, and then how many times you convert those chances into victories. I think they're the two things that are the big things for me. Because every time you get yourself into contention in the back nine, you're not going to win every single one of them, but the more you do that, you know, the more chances you give yourself to win. So to me, it's being up on the top page of the leaderboard on Sunday afternoon. The more times I can do that, you know, the more I'm going to think it's been a successful season.
You said a great thing with the Sick to Football guys about you can make somebody's day 20 different times in a day, 25 different times, you know, being in a position as a superstar. How do you look at your legacy and the kind of legacy you want to leave for everyone back?
Yeah, I hope people look back on my career and you know, hopefully they enjoyed watching me play golf. Like, that's something that I like to think that I, you know, was a good player, but also could entertain people with how I play the game. But then also, you know, try to do the right thing. So whether that be sign autographs for kids or, you know, make time in your day for someone, or, you know, just try to conduct yourself the right way. And, you know, my dad said to me when I was a kid, he said, always try to behave like someone's watching you. So that's sort of how I try to live my life.
Accountability. There's something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, beyond ourselves, right?
Yeah,
I was going to say another event that's huge, obviously the Ryder Cup. And you've mentioned that winning a road Ryder Cup in all of sports has become, that's what the biggest challenge, one of the biggest challenges is. How do you take on that challenge here as we look to these months ahead?
Yeah, you know, it's building a really good culture around the team, and that's, you know, it's nice that we have the continuity and Luke Donald being our captain again to go to Bethpage and try to do it. So I'm excited for the challenge. I'm under no illusions that it's going to be very, very tough.
New York crowd, you never know.
And obviously a really strong American team at home, it's going to be really tough, but I feel like we proved in Rome that we can do it with a young team, and, you know, hopefully those guys I'll have a little more experience in a couple of years' time in Bethpage, and but yeah, it would be, you know, I think if I were to be part of a Ryder Cup team that were to win at Bethpage, it would be honestly one of the highest achievements of my career.
Always great visiting with you, Rory. Appreciate your time, man.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Good to see you, bud.
No worries. Good to
All
see you.
Best.
Thank you.
All right, my thanks to Rory for jumping on the podcast this week. Again, you can read it on Golf Monthly, some of the quotes from this article, his thoughts on majors, his thoughts on the state of the game. I thought he was good. You know, it's Rory being Rory, right? I didn't go any super hard-hitting questions, but it was just good to get to know kind of what he's thinking right now, whether those major wins, whether they haunt him, whether he loses sleep or any of that when he has those quiet moments. So anyway, some thoughts with Rory McIlroy. Appreciate his time. Again, thanks to him. Thanks to Sean, his manager, there on site as well. Harry Diamond, his caddy, best friend. Always good running into Harry as well. So, but anyway, thanks again. We'll catch up again soon here on Beyond the Clubhouse.